Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Zahar Khan's feature film debut focuses on the lives of Maryam, her younger brother Bilal, and their mother, Faria, in a tiny apartment in Karachi. When Maryam's maternal grandfather passes, his brother tries to manipulate them into signing over their apartment to him, a common occurrence in Pakistan, where women's property rights are often very fragile. This is a film that works on many different levels. Story of property rights, a story of women's agency, the acting is superb, the story itself is very, very compelling. The film is called In Flames, and we're joined today by the director and writer, and that would be Zahar Khan. Zahar, welcome to Film School Radio.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, and thank you for being here. I'm so glad we were able to sit down and talk about this wonderful film because, as I mentioned in the introduction, it's many layered. The relationships themselves are complex and involved. The story about women's rights, cultural issues that come up, familial issues, betrayal, and then the film kind of morphs into a psychological horror film. There's just a lot going on here. What was the inspiration for writing the script, and how did that become the film we know now as In Flames?
In 2018, I made a short film called Dia that actually starred Bakhtawar Mazur, who went on to be with me in the feature. And it was about a family living in Karachi that was a matriarchal family that was dealing with grief. And after making that short, I felt like I barely scratched the surface of what the world was for these two characters, for this single mother and her daughter who were navigating the society. And I wanted to return to that world. So, you know, for a lot of filmmakers, they often make a short as a proof of concept for a feature. And I like work backwards where I made this short and I was like, now I want to make a feature because I'm so excited by the material that we're developing and also the actresses. Bakhtawar, it was such a joy working with her. And then she ended up being really a core collaborator and then went on the journey of the feature filled with me, similarly to Ramisha. So that was kind of the initial touchstone. And then we made that short in 2018, and I spent the next 5 years kind of growing my language as a filmmaker and my education as a filmmaker. I don't come from a film background. I come from theater. And also realizing that, you know, genre is something that I'm really attracted to as a way to create a really visceral experience in cinemas and really place you squarely in the characters' perspectives. And also knowing that in the society that we live in Pakistan, it's a deeply religious and so a deeply superstitious society, because those two always work hand in hand. And knowing that, you know, life isn't also contained to one genre. So I didn't feel like this film needed to just be one thing. And it was all of these forces coming together that made me want to tell this film in this way, but also really rooted in the fact that when I moved back to Pakistan 10 years ago, after doing theater in Canada, in small town Canada, meeting so many incredible women who had decided to work in the film industry as producers, as stylists, as cinematographers, and hearing about how challenging, you know, the film industry is male dominated across the world. Now put that in Pakistan and hear about their journeys and just thinking about how there's this system that is oppressing an entire gender that's operating on, as you said, so many different levels. It's institutional. Everything is political for me. And it's also overtly violent. You know, Pakistan right now is in its third iteration of what the contemporary women's rights movement looks like. I wanted to create a film that can speak to both the challenges, but also the importance of community and the importance of resistance.
Yeah, there's, again, as your answer indicates, there's just so much here. You said third iteration of the women sort of gaining more power and and stature in Pakistan society. What does that look like in terms of, is that educational opportunities? Is it, what does that mean to you as you say that?
So Pakistan is a place where, you know, it's a very interesting cultural dichotomy where on the books and legislation, we're actually deeply progressive for women's rights, but the way that the culture is it's in a different direction. So in the 70s, it was a much more progressive space before a U.S.-backed general came in power and he kind of implemented a version of Sharia law. And then the culture changed overnight. You know, it went from being like a place like Dubai to a very different country. And so this modern iteration of the Women's March, it's called the Women's March. It's fighting for women's independence at work, at home, and largely in the culture of society and trying to change that culture. They hold these marches across the country once a year. And I have found that power and those in power never want to give up that position without a fight. And so, you know, as the movement has gained popularity, so has the opposing forces. Things don't change without violence. That's the history of humankind, unfortunately. And that's where we're at. But as I was making this film, as I was writing it, you know, there was the women's movement in Iran that was happening. There was the overturn of Roe versus Wade that was happening. And it was just looking at, you know, the world is tilting one way right now and a need for films like this to exist and to exist urgently.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were describing that, as advanced as we like to think we are here in the United States in terms of civil rights, we're seeing definitely we're in a period of regression here, and especially when it comes to women and women's rights. So,
and that's happening across the world. You know, I don't think art can change lives. I think it can give people hope. I think it can. I think that's what it can do.
Yeah.
And that's what movies do for me. And it's been really tremendous traveling with this movie and seeing the responses from audiences.
Without getting too far afield, because I want to dive into what the film is about and the characters and how they develop and all the different relationships that are affected by all that. But what has been the reaction of the film in Pakistan?
It's been divisive. I knew that going into it, that this was going to be a challenging film. Me and my team, we're small but mighty, and we don't mind poking the bear. We self-distributed in Pakistan. We weren't able to get a distributor because they felt like it was too challenging a film. And I get that, you know, like we don't do a lot of genre, and it also, the subject matter is, it's tough. But me and my producer decided to become distributors, and we started in one cinema, and then we expanded to 12. And we were in Pakistan's two largest cities, Karachi and Lahore. The film was really well received by the younger generation. And I think we're seeing that across the world where everyone's kind of plugged in and accessing the same social media. So there is this kind of generational divide that's really happening and really clear. A lot of the old guard did not take to the film as well, but I wear that as a badge of honor because I know the kind of films that they're supporting and I know we're not that movie. So the film started a conversation, and that's what it was supposed to do.
And were you surprised when it became the official entry for Pakistan for the Oscar? Was that a surprise?
I wasn't, because I know that that committee consists of independent artists, and independent artists have been the backbone of the Pakistani arts community. You know, we don't have any state or federal funding. It's all people who are just slogging. And that committee was set up by Sharmeena Bichnoi, who's a two-time Oscar winner. Our iteration was run by Mo Nuqvi, who's an incredible filmmaker who currently has a series on Netflix. You know, these are people who've been trailblazing for the last better part of like 20 years. Yeah. So the independent artist community in Karachi is, you know, we've all got each other's back. And I was so honored that they decided to choose this film.
There was a film that came out earlier this year called Inshallah Boy, which addresses some of the same issues that we're seeing here. So, and one of the reasons why In Flames feels very much of the moment. I do want to talk about the casting. You had mentioned it earlier, and it is a very strong cast. And Maryam is played by Ramisha Nawal, and her younger brother, Bilal, is played by Gibran Khan. And finally, the yin and yang of the film, the Ramisha as well as Faria, it's played by Bakhtawar Mazar, who represents so much of the intent of the story, the intent of this film In Flames. I thought they did a remarkable job. But before you comment, I do want to bring one thing up about Ramesha Nawal. She has one of the most expressive faces. She has a face that the camera loves, and it feels like there's so much in her ability to kind of convey what she's thinking with an expression or two. It's quite remarkable. Beautiful.
I couldn't agree with you more. And both Ramesha and Bakhtawar, for both of them, this is their first feature film. For Ramesha, this is her first time on camera. So it's been incredible watching. It was amazing watching them on set, because Ramesha, you know, she has this really rich interiority. And when the camera's on her, you can sense like her fear, her interior kind of struggles to survive. And so much of that is just, you know, so much of this film was on her shoulders. And I think a lot of it also stems from her own experiences as a woman in Karachi, in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And the parallels she has with this character, where, you know, she's the eldest daughter. She understands, she's had to navigate that world. And similarly with Bakhtawar. So, you know, like, we're a micro-budget film, where for so many people, myself included, this is their first feature. And for this to be the response to their performances, I think is a testament to us all feeling like this was a story that we were all willing to, you know, this was the hill we were going to die on.
In both of the characters and the performances, there's this quiet power. There's the softness of Miriam, but all of a sudden she'll just say something that, you know, she's not, this is it. This is the way it is going to be moving forward. And the same with Faria, that they both have that. And I mean, you can see it in sort of a generational thing as a mother-daughter, but in their performances, there's something very direct about the way that these performances play out. Uncle Nasir, played by Adnan Shah, is initially, we're introduced to him, his character in the film, as a very benign kind of, he is there, I'm here to support you, you've been through a tough time. And then, again, there's a sort of a switch that flips, that is the cultural bias that just is sort of assumed in the way that it plays out. This is just the way it is. This is an assumption that you all should already know. And I love the way that that plays out. I don't know what else to say about it, but I just like the pieces of the film and the way that they move and the way that they, like I said before we got started, there's a foregrounding of some story and then subtly it morphs into another very important part of the story, and an emphasis in the film itself is a part of that. I don't know if I have a question. I just want to compliment you on your ability to be able to sort of meld all of this together.
Thank you. And I mean, for me as a writer, I enjoy playing with structure. I like films that take me on unexpected journey. I'm the person who, like, when the film starts, I'm like immediately trying to guess what happens. And I hate it when I'm right. Like, it infuriates me, because I'm like, well, why would I stay involved if I already knew what was happening?
Yeah.
You know, so I think what excites me and what excites me about cinemas that take unexpected turns. And with Adnan Shah Tipu, who is, by the way, by far the most famous actor we had in this film, he is a legend in Pakistan. And it was a joy working with him on this character, because he understood the subtleties of it really deeply. And, you know, this is a character who's like, he's that fucking guy. And everyone knows that fucking guy, you know, but we were like, we can't play him like that guy. You know, we need to play him with way more nuance, with making this character real in a way that we feel it. So when he comes out at the end and he does what he does, you just want to punch him in the face, you know? And it's been really great. I'm a big, like, Letterboxd nerd. So hearing reviews about everyone just wanting to have that reaction to his character, I'm like, you did your job, you know? You did it right.
Oh, awesome. Well, I just want to remind our listeners, speaking with Zahar Khan, and he is the director and writer The film that was Pakistan's submission for Best International Feature Film in the 2024 Academy Awards, and the film is called In Flames, and it is getting a release here in the United States. It'll be opening around the country on April 12th, and you can go, it's being distributed by Game Theory Films, and you can go to the website there for any screenings and more information about the film. Is that where we want to go? We want to send them to Game Theory? Okay, I just want to make sure.
And also our Instagram, at In Flames Movie.
Okay, yeah. And just, I will have all that posted to the filmschoolradio.com website, but you can also go to Game Theory and Instagram for In Flames Movie at Instagram. So, yeah. In addition to what I mentioned about the Academy Award submission, you were at the Cannes Film Festival, Toronto International Film Festival, a winner at the Red Sea Film Festival. So you've traveled the world with this film. And the reactions, I would imagine, have been very, very positive. As a filmmaker, first-time feature filmmaker, what has been the big takeaway for you? Is a confidence builder, obviously, but the reaction of the audiences, how is that playing into how you feel as a filmmaker moving forward?
I mean, I think the biggest learning has been that there's no such thing as a small film. We thought, you know, we're a micro-budget, tiny film from Pakistan, and this journey has shown me that there's no such thing as a small film. And audiences now are more excited than ever to hear perspectives and to learn about places that they don't know. And, you know, just tell your story the way you can tell it and to the best of your ability, and who knows what will happen.
Well, congratulations. I truly look forward to seeing any more films that you are working on coming out. And I hope that when that time comes, you'll join us again here on Film School Radio.
I hope so, too. Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
You're very welcome. Again, we've been speaking with Zahar Khan. He is the director of In Flames, and he's also the writer. And what, did you wear any other hats? You didn't edit, did you?
I was the co-editor, yeah.
Co-editor.
But I also had a great editor called Craig Scorgi, who was amazing to work with.
Zahar Khan, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Film School Radio. Congratulations on the film, and congratulations on all of the recognition the film has received. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.